in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23. And I've come to have church. I don't play church. I just come try to mind the Lord, and if I didn't feel like I needed to preach this, then we'd simply dismiss. But I feel like that this is that the Lord has laid upon my heart. And I believe today with all of my soul there's somebody here that needs to be saved. And I don't know why that you wouldn't want to be saved. There's a lot of liberal preachers up with a Bible that don't read like our Bible. They don't talk much about hell no more. So, Brother Ken, you preach like that and our crowds are going to go down. Well, we're not about the crowd. We're going to fulfill the call. And the gospel call goes to all. And young people, you look up here this morning. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And hell has just become a part of the American vernacular. But this Bible says it's a hot and a burning hell. And if you reject His Son, He'll have no option except to put you there. He'll not send you there, you'll send yourself there. And many of you today, they mail you a letter in the mail, information letting you know that your insurance is soon to expire, to get off of your house, and you're scared your things is going to burn up, so you renew your policy. But I'm going to preach about a policy this morning never expires. Never goes out of date. You don't have to read the fine print, neighbor. The Bible said in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23, for the sake of time, I'm going to be short in reading. He said in verse 27, there followed him a great company of people and of women which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Well, there's a time we should ever be weeping for our children. It is today, Brother Lee. And I want to thank God for these children we've got. I want to thank God for the children come up the aisle and giving the bucket earlier today. He says, for behold, the days are coming which they shall say, blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave. So He said, there's coming a day that they're going to thank God they didn't have children to be in this environment. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? There were also two other malefactors led with them to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. The malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted His raiment and then cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar, saying, if Thou be the King of the Jews, save Thyself. A superscription also was written over Him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors which were ranged held on Him, saying, if Thou be Christ, save Thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked Him, saying, dost not Thou fear God, seeing Thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when Thou comest in Thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, verily, I say unto thee today, shalt thou be with me in paradise? It was about the sixth hour, there was a darkness over all the earth to the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, in Thy hands I commend my spirit. And he, having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Father, I thank you for your presence today. I'm a needy preacher, Lord. And I pray that you would touch me. But Lord, there's people here who have a greater need than I have today. Because God, one day you saved me. And I pray that you would let them say that eternal yes to you this morning. Help us and we'll be grateful. Guard us, guide us. Hedge us in from the demons of hell this morning. Help us, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. There's a word I'd like to deal with this morning in the text in verse number 33. The Bible said, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. I'm interested in that word Calvary, and I want to preach out the thought of it. It's the only time in the Bible where Calvary is mentioned. Out of all of the words of this book, I want you to think about something. This is the only time Calvary was ever mentioned. And I'm going to preach on this subject today. Once was enough. Once was enough. You see, you'll notice there's one text was enough. He said in 33 the word Calvary. Maybe God didn't want to mention it again. Maybe it hurt him so bad. Matter of fact, God had loved us so much that He sent His Son. And here at this word Calvary, there was a place of design. Before the foundation of the world, God predetermined He had sent His Son to die for a wicked world. That's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that God did not detour Adam and Eve in the garden. It amazes me that God allowed the devil to plunge man in total depravity in the garden. You see, man has an option. Man's not a robot. We all have a choice. We either accept Christ or we reject Him. He died for all. Therefore, before you and I ever came on the scene, God had a plan. And it was Calvary. And here in the mind of God, there is a place of design. Number two, there's a place of display. There God painted a picture before the whole wide world. He loved us enough that He gave His only begotten Son. Can you imagine the heart of God when His Son got on the cross and died for the likes of me and you? I can understand why God had saved some of you. And I mean it with all my heart, but I don't understand why God would save something like some of us. And so certainly this is one text was enough. It was a place of design. It was a place of display. But it was a place of discovery. There, Jesus died. I wonder what the angels thought when they seen the Son of God die. There, the Son of God had been in a heavenly place, the whole angelic host. But here they just seen Him die. And this word Calvary, maybe God never wanted to mention it in that fashion again. I think if my child was put on a cross and died for me and you, I don't know if I would want to mention that much anymore. And here Calvary, one text was enough. I want to say in verse 34, one truth was enough. He said when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified Him. Then 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. Can I say that only forgiveness comes from the cross? You can be baptized in this water until you become absolutely saturated to the bone. And it'll never wash away your sins. You can give all your money to the poor. You can spend your lifetime doing good. But there's one thing that if you ever miss, and that's the forgiveness of the cross, there's one truth that will prevail while ages roll on. Only forgiveness comes by the way of the cross. You see here, this is where the Savior testified. This is where the Son was crucified. This is where the sinner was justified. And this is where the sovereign God in heaven was satisfied. There's one truth, forgive them. You see, the Son was crucified, but here the sinner can be justified. Justified is a legal term. In Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 20, you'll notice the Bible says, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. In other words, he said, you can't keep the Ten Commandments. The law showed us how wicked we were. When we see the law, it shows me that I need a Savior. I do pretty good on 7, 8 of them, but you know, sometimes 9 and 10 or 4 and 5 or 2 and 3 are some issues in my life. And therefore, the Son was crucified, but here the sinner is justified. He said, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now verse 24, being justified, a legal term, freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I want to say the Son was crucified, but here the sinner can be justified. Isn't it amazing the love of God sent His Son to put Him on a cross? He gave us the law on Mount Sinai with Moses. When He came down, He presented it to the people. Therefore, anybody that was ever saved, they was always looking forward to the cross. But now, when Calvary has already come and gone, now we that are saved, we are looking back to the cross of what Jesus has done for us in our life. I'm glad He took my sin and your sin on an old rugged cross, and I can be justified by faith. I can't work my way to heaven. Can't give my way to heaven. He says, I can be justified by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, say it here, this truth where the sinner's justified. He can go free. Isn't that a blessing how the law has put us in a courtroom? But when Calvary came up, Jesus said, I'm going to give you a way out of this thing. And if you'll have faith in my Son, what I'm doing for you, I'll justify you. I'll declare you just even though you're guilty. What a God would send the best thing He's got to make us just in spite of how wicked we really are. You see, one truth is enough. The Savior testified, forgive them, Father. The Son was crucified. Here the sinner's justified. But in Romans 5, you'll see where the sovereign God was satisfied. Isn't that amazing now? Have you ever thought about what it would take to set me and you free? Isn't it amazing that God thought so much against sin and thought so much of me and you that it would please Him to send His Son to set us free. That's amazing God came up with that formula. What a God. I can tell you this, He hates sin. Sin took His Son. Sin has done a lot to our country. Sin's done a lot to us. Sin's never left anybody how that it found them. So certainly here we see the sovereign satisfied. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have peace with God because I'm a preacher. I don't have peace with God because I recite all the books of the Bible. I have peace with God by what He says through our Lord Jesus Christ. The day I accepted Him, I received a peace like I've never had. And now I've got a place like I never had. And I've got a promise like I never had. He's coming back to get me because I believed through His Son on an old rugged cross. He says, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation works patience. Verse 5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8, the sovereign satisfied, but God commendeth His love toward us. You can put your name right there. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for me to do better to save me. He saved me when I wasn't doing too good. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. That's the only way you go into heaven, by faith in the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have no joy because you don't know where joy comes from. Joy is not in a bottle. It's not in a bag. It's not in a pill. It's not in a casino, honey. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And only joy comes in Jesus this morning. He said, many of you joy. When the choir sings, you have joy. When preaching breaks out, you have joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we've now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man's sin, Adam entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all of sin. You can count on the Word of God being true. You know what He said? He said to Adam, in the day that you sin, you shall surely die. You know what? He died. You know what? Every one of us is headed to that death. We're going to give up this body. Either by way of the clouds or by the way of the sod. We're going to give it up. We're all headed to the graveyard. But I sure am glad I'm going there with Jesus. And He says this, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who's the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so is also the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by, you can underline this, neighbor, by one man. All roads don't lead to heaven. By one man, Jesus Christ hath abounded unto many. He said, He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. We live in a day of popularity. We live in a day when nobody wants to offend nobody. Honey, you bypass His Son, you'll lift your eyes in hell. Calvary was enough. One text was enough. One truth was enough. I want to say back over there in Luke 23, one trial was enough. In verse number 35, you'll notice this, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, if He saved others, let Him save Himself. If He be Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers mocked Him, coming to Him, offering Him vinegar, and saying, if Thou be the King of the Jews, save Thyself. One trial was enough. The howling mob. My goodness, I'm going to tell you, in this trial that He come forth. Matter of fact, there the ruler said, I find no fault in Him. They cried, well, release Barabbas. But crucify Him, crucify Him. He said He's King of the Jews. We'll have no king like Him. Crucify Him. He said that He's God. Crucify Him. Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. But he's scared he's going to lose his job. And he turned Christ over and set Barabbas free. And now this angry mob, this crowd, this cruel trial is taking him to Calvary. I want to say he was guilty of being Lord. He was guilty of being the most loving one that we've ever known. Matter of fact, the Bible said that he opened not his mouth, led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was guilty of being the Lord. He is guilty of love, but he was guilty of being the Lamb of God, the chosen of God. Isn't that amazing? God thought so much of me and you that he let his Son be put on trial and become guilty that he loved us, and they put him on a cross. Can I tell you, one trial was enough. He'll never be tried again. One trial was enough. I want to say in verse 38, one track was enough. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin, Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Now I want to tell you what just happened here. When these men or these robbers or these that was declared guilty, when they'd come out of trial, they would all make a sign. And they would put this sign on them, or they would lead it before them going to Calvary. And this is what was on the sign. This is the King of the Jews. This is why we're trying him, for the mockery and the things that he said. But what people don't realize, can I tell you, God put above his only Son the truth that's ever been told. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's the first Bible tract that we've ever known. God put it above his Son on an old rugged cross. And he said, in spite of you, I love you and I'm dying for you. He's not only King of the Jews, but he is the doorway to glory. He's the access to heaven. He's everything you'll ever need. One track was enough. You know, a lot of times I see these around in places. People open them up and they read them. They see the Word of God. Can I tell you, one track is enough. There's a lot of people, they say, well, you know. No, I want to say once was enough. One track was enough. Who is good? As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one who's sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory. Where sin came from, for it's by one man sin entered into the world. God's price on sin, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our way out. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confesses is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he said this, come unto me. Oh, you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. All the Father that give me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. One track was enough. One track is enough to get you out of hell this morning to read about what the precious Lamb of God done for you on an old rugged cross. I want to say that one text was enough. No doubt that one truth was enough. One trial was enough. One track was enough. And I want to say in verse 39 through 41, one thief would have been enough. If he's the only one, Brother Lee, that would have ever believed in him, he'd have died for him. We think a lot of times, well, we don't see many saved. Well, if you see one saved, it's worth everything. This man, his wife, taking these three babies to Utah, Mormon country. They're going out there in a wilderness. You know, when they report in on their letters, they may say, well, it took us 4 years and one got saved. Well, you know what? It'd be worth 4 years if one. One thief was enough. He died for him. He died for you. And he died for me. You say, preacher, how do you know he died for me? Because the Bible said he paid a ransom for all. One thief had been enough. Isn't it amazing God would have got on the cross just for one thief? Declared guilty. Matter of fact, they was done condemned. Bad signs around them. Caught. You know the reason some of us are not in jail this morning? Because we didn't get caught. You know, when I go in prisons and preach, what I see mom and daddy's boys that got caught. And you didn't get caught. I'm going to tell you, one thief would have been enough. Brother Jake, he'd have hung and died. If it had only been that one thief that believed God saved, he'd have died for him. We baptized several the other night. We may go another year. I believe this morning somebody needs to be saved. And I want to say, we build that wing, we're going to build that other wing. Ain't no doubt in my heart, we're going to go that way sometime. I don't know how, but God will make a way. And I can tell you this, when we do, I'll take my shoe off. Brother Jason, I don't know how God will, I just know God will. One thief would have been enough. Just one, he'd have died for him. Matter of fact, one of them was talking ugly about him. He looked around and he said, hey, I don't know what you're thinking about. Said, we in the same shape. Said, I don't know why you're casting this in his teeth. I want to say one thief was enough. Verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanging railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, doest thou not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly will receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He's done nothing amiss. One thief had been enough. I want to say this. One trust was enough. Verse 42. And he said, and let me tell you who he said it to. You want to know how to be saved? Right here it is this morning. I got Bible to show you how to get to heaven right here. This right here will take all of men's philosophies. It'll take all of men's doctrines. It'll take all of men's books and throw them out the window. And right here is how a man or woman, boy or girl gets to heaven. It's right here. You better underline it and you better remember it. Because one trust was enough. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. He didn't say remember us. He said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And so Jesus had something to say to him, not them. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now this does away with several doctrines that's floating around today. Number one, water baptism. He was not baptized. I hate to tell you, neighbor, I think we ought to be baptized after we're saved. But being baptized don't get us to heaven. Baptism is an open showing that I've received Christ, I've died the old life, and I've been resurrected into the new life as the Lord got out of the ground. Then it knocks the doctrine of soul sleep in the head. Because he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You said it's not a purgatory. It's not some place you go to and wait. You're not waiting on a priest to pay somebody come and pay things off. It's no waiting place. How eternity finds you is the way eternity keeps you. Today, one trust was enough. I want to say in verse 42, it was his entire trust. And he said unto Jesus, it was an accepted trust in verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, and it was an eternal trust. He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I want to say one thief would have been enough. One trust was enough. And then one testimony was enough. Did you notice here in closing what happened in verse 44 and 45? And it was about the sixth hour. It was noon. It was midday, the 12 o'clock hour. And there was a darkness over all the earth till the ninth hour, till 3 o'clock. From 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, it turned dark as pitch. The boys laying rock had to quit. The boys building houses, they had to quit. Folks walking down the road, they basically had to quit. They had to light candles to see their way. One testimony was enough. Now look what happened in the temple. The Bible said the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. One testimony was enough. What is this, preacher? Well, make it easy for you. Pretty much, it was sort of like what we have here today. I think it was some 60 foot across. It was higher than this. Some 25, 30 foot high. But did you know that curtain was as wide as my hand? And it was placed in the temple. And you know what it was doing? It was dividing the holy place from the Holy of Holies. They could come here anytime and do their sacrificial work in the temple. Matter of fact, the priests had daily jobs. They would come in to the brazen laver. They'd wash. They'd do things in ministerial work. But only one time a year could the great high priest go beyond that curtain in the holy place where the mercy seat was, and he sprinkled it with blood. Could you imagine them boys in the temple, and all of a sudden the veil rent from the top to the bottom? And they looked in and they seen that holy place like they'd never seen it before. And you know what he's telling me? He says, now you don't need a Catholic priest. You don't need a Baptist preacher. All you need to do is realize that Calvary opened a way for you to get to the Holy of Holies by the blood of His Son, into the throne room of God Himself, and be gloriously saved by the good grace. The testimony was enough. A lot of you don't believe in Christ. You ought to look around here at the testimonies. That ought to be enough for you. Do you think a man smoking an ounce a week can quit just like that? Oh, I know some can, but most can't. You know why marriages, young people, last 50 years? Because they saved. You know how people enjoy coming to church? It's testimonies. Because they got saved and they enjoy church. Some of you endure church because you've never been saved. And boy, I'm glad there was one testimony was enough. The sun darkened, it turned pitch black, and the veil in the temple rent from the top to the bottom. And then I'm going to say lastly in verse 46, one trip was enough. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Brother Nathan, y'all come on. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. He'll never have to come back and die on a cross again. But He is coming back. You see, that trip to Calvary once was enough. And can I tell you, once you've been to Calvary, that's enough for you. I'm glad I don't have to keep going back and back and back. You say, preacher, you believe in eternal security? Oh, you better know I believe in eternal security. He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well, preacher, how'd he get saved? What was the difference in that thief and that thief? One believed. One cried Lord and the other one cried law. Accused him. But the other one said, Lord, remember me. I want to say this morning. I know you're here. God's never showed me nothing yet that wasn't right. It's always been right. He's never showed me one thing that wasn't always right. I remember the morning I got saved. I was sitting like some of you. Maybe a little closer to the hell than I thought I was. And you know, Brother Mike, it was a couple things was playing in my mind. Number one, people think I'm saved. And I'm meaner than the devil. I don't like church. But I know what that old man come by. God dealt with me yesterday is a bothering me. Some of you here this morning, you're bothered. I'm glad you are bothered. But you're going to have to do like I've done. You're going to have to step out by faith and you're going to have to receive Christ just as this thief did. There's one way to heaven and that's the Lord Jesus. The devil will play with your mind. What will people think? Well, let me ask you this. What are you going to think when you die and go to hell in your sins? What are you going to think? I can tell you what these people is going to think. They're going to think, thank God you got saved. There's going to be people that will love you and pray with you. I wonder this morning, do you want to be saved? Then number two, I want to tell you, you can be. But you're going to have to do as that dying thief. You're going to have to call out to the Lord Jesus. In your own way, asked Him to save you. This family's going to sing. I'm going to open this altar this morning. And I'll tell you this, the Bible says if you'll come to Him, He'll no wise cast you out. But you'll have to come to Him. I want to sing that this morning. I want to open this altar. I want you to come. Ma'am, do you need to be saved today? I want to see you get saved. Lord.